It's the International Punk Supply Radio Show, the greatest punk radio show ever created, brought to you by a group of folks who all have the letter P in their first or last name and are currently all wearing hats. Broadcasting to you live from the new compound I just purchased in Malibu with two infinity pools, it's DJ Hollywood. Joining me today, the one and only Cat Plaza.
Hey, guys.
And back on the mic, the Riff Master General.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
What's going on?
What a day for me and my family. Kathy finally came down with COVID, so now we're 4 for 4.
You have a flush, and, the COVID flush.
We're feeling real COVID-y over here. Actually, I think the three of us, besides Kathy, are pretty much out of it, so
that's good.
Yeah, so anyway, we're just chilling around the house, trying not to kill each other. It's not always easy. The kids are so bored. they're so bored of everything, so.
I never thought about that, being a parent and having kids and everyone has COVID, and like, what the hell do you do with yourself during that time?
Yeah, so like even watching TV, their favorite thing in the world, like after a while they're like, I can't watch any more TV. I'm like, this is so dull.
How could you not watch any more TV?
I know, but I mean, like, when you watch that much because everyone is like kind of conked out on the couch, it gets old. Yeah. And we're all just kind of like looking at each other like, what next? Can't go outside. I don't know what to do. But hey.
I'm going to catch up on Barry.
Ooh.
I probably should. And by catch up, I mean start it and then catch up.
This radio show does fully endorse Barry. We'll talk about that later, though, on our other podcast, Catching Up with Barry. So off the top here, we just heard the newest track from Tony Molina off his just announced record, In the Fade. I actually haven't listened to it until this very moment. I was kind of waiting for the moment to listen. So, yeah, it sounds like Tony Molina. It's great.
Big gas. Loved it.
Yes. Three-part guitar harmonies, I feel like more of those. I think he was more a two guy, but doing three. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see him the last time he toured, but I watched a video of him and the band playing, and he had three guitars on stage, like three guitarists, himself included. They did a ripping cover of The Replacements' Left of the Dial. It was really cool.
I think I was at that show.
Oh, shit. That rules. That's a tough one to cover.
Yeah, right? And they did it with grace.
Yeah. That's just a hard band to cover. You can't replace them live. See what I
mean?
Yep.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. You know, also, I just realized that the International Punk Supply Radio Show currently is not international.
No. In fact, we're a domestic flight today.
It's almost all Chicago, our international correspondents being in Chicago.
Just a wild couple blocks from each other, probably. Wild.
Maybe. But hey, what do you say, boys? Do you want to listen to some more music or what?
I'm in.
All right, well, I'm about to ruin the good vibes made by Tony Molina with the latest a track off the latest record by Rigorous Institution. Hit it.
Thank you.
of Steel by the one and only Devo. Right before that, we heard the band Calvary with the track Ravenous Lands. And starting off that rock-a-block rock was Rigorous Institution with the song Criminal Betrayers off their latest Cane's March. Pat, you...
Hey.
You're not a Devo fan or haven't really given them the time?
That's my favorite Devo song.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I have a problem with Devo, which is I start listening to Devo. It doesn't scratch the itch like a band like Gang of Four, the B-52s does, so I usually just throw on one of those other bands. Is that crazy? Or are they in their own league, man? Are they in their own lane? Am I fucking up?
I think they're in their own lane, and you could be messing up. But then again, I also came to Devo later than I should have, so I get it.
Okay. Yeah, I like that song a lot. That's a great song.
Yeah.
I would give Duty Now for the Future a listen, like, through the whole thing. Like, the debut, obviously, is, like, flawless. But I feel like a lot of good stuff is on the second record.
And this one, too, Freedom of Choice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll listen up until, oh, no, it's Devo.
Yeah.
Then they kind of...
See, that debut has always left me very cold. I just don't get it. I don't like it very much. I don't know why.
It's odd. It's an odd record. It's really weird.
It is really odd. Yeah.
Really, really weird.
And I usually like stuff that's, like, really arch and kind of playful and... You know, but hey, life is long. I got time.
For those listeners, while this was playing, Riffmaster here grabbed his Devo hat. Is it a hat?
It's an energy dome.
Energy dome.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it twisted. It's not a hat.
I just recently saw Devo. Had some industry insider VIP tickets to a festival here. No big deal. No big deal.
No big deal.
We went and saw Devo only and then more or less left. It was great.
Real industry. Just pop in and pop out. Don't need to check out any other bands. No. Well, who's next? Morrissey or something? Come on.
It was the Psychedelic Furs, and the homie could not hit any of the notes in the choruses, and he was off time. It was bad.
That's so weird. That dude does not sing high.
Yeah, it was really weird. The best part about that fest, though, was, like, people watching, because it was, like, every type of musical subcultural person possible, including every type of goth possible. It was great.
A lot of goth influencers, I bet.
Oh, goth influencers for sure. Yeah, absolutely. We even saw, like, a raw punk there. It was really, really odd. But...
Dude, that... What was it? Rigorous Institution?
Yeah.
That was fucking tight.
Yeah.
That was like, I like that like Swans type intro, and then it kind of just sounded like new Dark Throne, which I know is a very polarizing subject for some people. Like, new Dark Throne is like, people think it's corny and like, but it's not. I think it's fucking tight, but that was sick. That was like way more punk. I think that if Fenriz were to listen to that, he'd be like, this is so good, you know.
Uncle Fenriz. Pat, what did you think about that?
Couldn't hang, didn't like it.
I picked one of their more challenging songs for sure,
right? And I'm not beyond like, I'll take a challenging song. I thought the vocals really left me sort of cold. I like the lyrics. I could tell I could hear a message. But it's the delivery, and sometimes, you know, just doesn't sound good. Your synapses don't quite work with it, and that's where I'm at with that band.
You weren't feeling as though you were on the set of Waterworld watching Kevin Costner do his best post-apocalyptic performance?
Man, I haven't seen that movie. I don't know what that...
I've never seen that either.
You guys are missing out.
I know. I've always wanted to watch more Kevin Costner movies.
What about Calvary? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I like that.
That's
good. What kind of music is that? What are we like? What genre are we putting that in? I had a hard time pinning it down. It sounded pretty atmospheric to me.
Yeah, kind of earth adjacent. The dude is his main project is Grinning Death's Head, the black metal project on Youth Attack.
Mm.
So yeah. There's certainly some of that influence in there. But yeah, it's certainly odd.
Yeah, it's like a little post-rocky, you know?
Yeah. Post-punky. Go ahead, Dylan.
Maybe I listened to the other side and didn't get to the Calvary side, but are all the songs sort of like that slow, kind of dirgy stuff?
His first track has much more like black metal influence with tremolo picking and like blast beats. But then The last track is like an acoustic thing, like just an acoustic instrumental that's like really eerie and odd.
Okay. This is forest trekking music.
or like desert trekking.
Is that guy from like the?
I think he's from Florida.
Oh,
the swamp desert trekking. Desert Trek is the name of a model of Clarks, not to be confused with their desert boot or the wallaby.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again we have the return. Of the what do we call it? Your garment update here.
We got you on a garment scene report.
Yeah, the garment scene report.
I actually had a pair of Desert Treks, and I bought them because I saw Wes Isold wearing them before he went full sort of L.A. Rick Owens goth when he was still in like Philadelphia or whatever. He was wearing these Desert Treks, kind of a crunchy goth look.
A crunchy goth. Oh, I love that. They look comfy.
They are comfy. They're pretty ugly. There's no doubt about it, but they that's the truth for all of their shoes, so... I liked them. They were good shoes.
Hell yeah. Well, we're going to start off this next block with Pat, a track of your choice.
Okay. We got a new duet from... Oh. Hey, can you move the screen stuff? I don't know. Jose Medeles, I think, and Marissa Anderson. Out of Portland. This is Please Send to JF. Thank you.
me. Hi, Decker.
I heard sing your song.
Buddy, I've been thinking about you. All of the shit that you've been through. Nothing ever worked out right. The only time you smiled is after a few drinks at night.
That was Tim Heidecker with his new song, Buddy. Before that, we heard Jose Medeles and Marissa Anderson with Please Send to JF. The JF in question here is John Faye. This is Jose Medeles' album tribute to the influential guitarist John Faye, whom I assume you guys know and love, but maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I am.
Not entirely familiar with.
I love him.
It's okay.
Every time I pick up guitar, that's what I want to play. I specifically, like 2 months ago, bought an acoustic, like a small acoustic, to try and play shit like that. I love that stuff.
Yeah. 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 Marissa Anderson, the guitarist who's playing all that stuff on that song, is a phenom. She's incredible. And her records on, I think, Thrill Jockey? I think Thrill Jockey. Outstanding. Highly recommended.
She did stuff with... was it her that did a split or collaboration with Grouper?
I don't know about that. She did a record with William Tyler last year.
I might be thinking of someone else. So okay. Scratch that from the record.
Jeffrey Cantu Ledesma? Is that who you're thinking of?
No, not that. As the group Mirroring?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's her.
Don't know. Yeah, but anyway.
Anyway.
I really liked, yeah, very hopeful music, musical balm, musical ointment, sounds good.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
Good, very good making a French press music, man. Just get those beans
French press.
All ground up, pouring that water over.
That's there's so many of those artists that like I haven't explored yet that do that sort of like guitar soli, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, there's like a lot of that stuff that I will start like with Fahey, and then like you get into this primitive blues thing and you're just like, fuck, I listened to three records. I don't even know if I'm listening to them anymore. But I'm not going to say it all sounds the same, but it all sounds similar, but in all of it is like good and calming.
Yeah.
I think you described it best when you said listening to this while making a French press is the most optimal way to listen to it.
That's the move, man. I think you it's morning music for me for sure.
Yeah,
kind of gets you moving. Yeah, 100%. And actually Marissa is her last LP that I really fell in love with, Cloud Corner, is a lot of electric guitar. It's played in the same style, but when you're amped up gives you a really different kind of feel. So I don't know anything about music like that, but also recommend it.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we heard new Tim Heidecker stuff. Heidecker, of course, is a comedian famous for doing a lot of different things, probably most famous for his Tim and Eric show. But in the last 10 years, it's been a long time now, he's been cranking out more and more polished and more serious solo music.
Yeah, he's definitely taking it more seriously, for sure. It's funny, you got two Heidecker heads in the room here, for sure.
Great.
Yeah, I commented in the chat that, like, I think on some of his past records, it's like, oh, I'm going to do a song that sounds like the Doobie Brothers. Oh, I'm going to do a song mm-hmm. that sounds like Chicago. And it's just like, right. Here it's kind of like, oh, I'm just going to, like, play music and see what happens.
Yeah.
I have been talking to Nate lately about a fellow Heidecker head. About how, like, I haven't gotten past, like, Heidecker and Wood, which is the record, like you're saying, it's like, oh, this one's the Warren Zevon song.
Yeah.
Right.
And this one's the, like, Doobie Brothers one. But I love that record so much. But I just haven't dived into, like, Fear of Death or What the Broken Hearted Do yet. I'm stoked to do it though. Like that song was kind of like in between, like there's definitely like a Stephen Stills vibe to it.
Yeah.
That
yeah. It's, a, I really it's definitely enjoy. Got some Fleetwood Mac energy. I mean, it sounds yeah. Sounds very LA. It's like,
yeah.
You could tell the man loves Zevon, like you said. And basically what's very interesting about Heidecker is he's like, his interests have kind of converged with mine at around the same time. Like I could tell he's really loved this stuff for a long time, but until recently I was not like a Zevon devotee or a Chicago fan. Like this is all pretty new to me, and he's one of the best doing it with sort of the reverence for that music as opposed to just like using it for like a lampoon or something.
Well, I think what I love best about it, like I can't necessarily speak to the knowledge of breadth of music that he's pulling from. But I think like his writing, his actual like lyric writing has gotten like, it's still just as clever and it is funny, but it's also like this song in particular is like nostalgically sad.
Right.
Which is like such a great contrast against like a song that's just kind of like rolling on and somewhat upbeat.
Yeah. Clearly the dude likes Kurt Vile too, I think. And like, I don't know, His Golden Messenger, like stuff like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kurt Vile's on this record for sure.
Yeah, I think they're buddies. Probably pals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been on Office Hours.
A few times. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
The you have to check out Fear of Death because his main collaborator on that album is Wiseblood, who is a fantastic musician. Her album Titanic Rising is one of my faves. Just like just the pipes on this woman is insane. You gotta check it out.
Very cool. Yeah, great track. Yeah. Great selections.
Yeah, I'm glad that he doesn't do the vocal affectations anymore and just like writes clever songs. That's what Warren Zevon would do. You know?
I also gotta say, I don't know if he would cop to it, but there's Buffett influence.
Ah. You hear that Mar-a-Lago song? Absolutely.
I fucking love that. And that is like, he would grant that is like a big old like Kokomo spoof or like a Margaritaville spoof, but like
absolutely,
it's
in the DNA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good
coming from a Buffett head right there.
I'll stamp it.
Tried and true parrot head.
That's me.
Parrot head. That's right.
I just got my Barometer Soup T-shirt out of storage. It was in there for the winter, obviously.
Barometer Soup. What is that?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, man. I feel bad for you guys. 1995 LP.
Wow.
After Fruitcakes hit in a big way and revived his career, Buffett made a very strong adult contemporary album called Barometer Soup. Not without its cringy moments, but a personal favorite of mine.
Pat, let me ask you... Let me ask you a question here.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of yourself, what other type of person would you expect to see wearing a Barometer Soup shirt?
Oh, man. That's a great question. My thought is you're going to see it on a guy mowing the grass. He's 60. He shouldn't be doing it anymore because he's got a heart condition, but he can't give it up. His wife, you know, she's like, he's like, I'm putting on the Barometer Soup shirt, the New Balances. I'm going to cut the fucking grass, honey. What's the big deal? That's the person.
I love
she it. Ted can't do that anymore. He just got the pacemaker put in 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And he's ignoring doctor's orders.
He's blasting.
Or if you go to a Jimmy... Yeah. Or if you go to a Jimmy Buffett shirt or Jimmy Buffett show, I'm sure there's 1,000 people with Barometer Soup shirts.
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
They got the tour shirt.
I don't need to tell you what people wear to Buffett. I don't have to speculate. Yeah. I don't have to speculate because I know.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: people wear Aloha shirts, Hawaiian shirts at the Buffett shows. Like they do a little bit of the Buffett T-shirt at the Buffett show thing, but by and large, it's a lot of Hawaiian shirts, which doesn't make sense because he's really a Florida artist.
Well, that's like his MO is, I mean, you think...
Just escapism, warm climates, I get it, but... Yeah.
Well, listen, I don't
you're
go
not
going
to find me there in a Hawaiian shirt.
I think the best, before we move on, I think the best shirt or, people watching I've ever seen was when I went and saw Todd Rundgren 3 years ago.
Ooh.
And I saw a guy in a satin baseball jacket... And in the back it said Rundgren Junkies, like he was like a little like a baseball team. It was sick. Anyway,
that is so cool.
Yeah.
Wow, I love it.
That is so cool. He is a true star.
Oh, he's a wizard.
Yeah.
All right.
Nordyke's like what?
Dylan, what do we have coming up next?
Well, yeah, I guess this. I got four tracks here. Slow Death, Flaming Groovies. It's either a demo or a live version. I can't figure it out. But if you want to take it away.
Let's hit it. Mm-hmm.
as much as I do in this light she's under. Me and Magdalena, always leaving early and sleeping late. Secluded in the canyon, lost within a turn of fate. But no, everything lost will be recovered when we drift into the arms of the undiscovered.
Kicking it off, demo version of Slow Death by Flaming Groovies. I'm not sure if that's live or just like a may or like a live demo or just, you know, live performance. It's on like a weird pressing. A friend of mine sent that to me the other day and was like, when the studio version is not as good as the live version, and I agree. And then it's the next song was by Accident. 1979, sort of like did a 7-inch, then never did anything else, and then there was like a compilation resurgence. They were on like a Killed by Death. I think they were on number 9? Killed by Death number 9? And then there was like a reissue LP with like other demos, live tracks. Shout out to me and Patrick going to Radiation Records and me finding the reissue of that. Their originals go for like, I don't know, way too much money.
Yeah, shout out to you, last, shout out to Radiation. That place is no pack rats fuck nest. No thing.
What it is was
Radiation Records in behind the orange curtain in Anaheim, California.
Oh, okay, not Chicago. Okay.
No. Yeah, this is when Dylan was out here. It's mm-hmm. It's a great record store, kind of. They have like. It's a punk record store. They have insane things that you'll never see. And then you look at the price of them and you're like, get the fuck out of here. And on top of that, it's like one of those places where it's like boxes on top of boxes on top of boxes. It's just like a hoarder's den. It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need all day to actually do anything worthwhile there. And what, we have like an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but God. I found this. And this was like what I was looking for. That was a cool last song. And then last song is The Monkees, Me and Magdalena.
Okay, we'll hold off on The Monkees for the moment because I do want to get to that. But I've never listened. I mean, I hadn't really given a listen to any of these bands in earnest. I mean, obviously I was familiar with all the names, but that Flaming Groovies track was so sick.
Yeah, major song. My friend of the show, I guess we'll say, because he knows Diego too, Tyler out of Canada, made a playlist that a couple years ago called Proto, featuring proto-punk songs. And I think the first song on that playlist is Shake Some Action, that band's biggest track, which is unbelievably catchy and rockin', just like the one we heard. And I've been a fan of that band ever since. So good.
Yeah, you could, like, really, I don't know, like, you could just feel, like, the kind of unhinged, like, rock energy. That sounds so lame to say, but, like, there's no other way to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, you hear it in Marvelous Darlings and Sheer Mag
yeah!
and all these bands
yeah.
that are channeling kind of, like, Sunset Strip, like, two killer guitarists and a wild-haired preening singer type mojo. So
yeah, it's like folks that like kind of took like Iggy's energy and ramped it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. With some glam, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Iggy had glam too.
No, that's true. Just a little bit A little more aggro.
Yeah, a little weird. Yeah, a little more heroin.
Maybe.
I feel like the Groovies are still definitely like 1 foot in the like Chuck Berry traditional rock camp, rather as the Stooges are just like, these amps go up all the way. Our singer can like contort himself and cut himself into whatever shape he wants. Like, but like, I don't think that deters from the fact that like that version of Slow Death is like, I think it's Sticky Fingers and there's a different, it was like a, fuck, I had it pulled up here. Either way, there was like this Flaming Groovies record that came out the same day as Sticky Fingers, and Mick Jagger was like, ah, I think they did it better than us.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
I'll watch it, because there's some... I particularly like this version because I feel like it sounds reminiscent of like Mick Taylor from the Stones era slide guitar playing over the top of it, which I thought was fucking sick. But yeah,
I got one little interjection. What is the band Groovy Ghoulies? I get them mixed up with the Flame and Groovies.
I didn't know that was a band.
You Come know on, what? Pat, yeah, I'm there too. I'm there too. I will admit that. I think the Groovy Ghoulies were like Ghoulies a Misfits like,
band, right?
I don't know. For some reason, as soon as you said that, like also the Voodoo Glow Skulls come to mind.
So maybe it's
like that weird like time of mid 2000s. Like, is it ska? Is it punk? Is it just Hot Topic? I don't know what.
We are disrespecting the Flamin' Groovies right now.
Yeah, we are. It's so let's move on.
is it Hot Topic or is it ska? It doesn't matter. It's all Monster Mash, one way or the other.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you right there because Bobby Boris Pickett, who made the Monster Mash in like 1961 or something, has a whole album of like rinky-dink carnival proto-punk like Chuck Berry bullshit music in the style of the Monster. It's a must listen if you haven't heard it before.
I've heard a couple of tracks other than the Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett that are sick.
I listen to it just once a year on Halloween, and it is it is a campy mess, and I love it. It's great. And I love the Monster Mash. And my kids listen to it all year round. Doesn't matter what time of year. So next.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about Accident already. Yeah, it's just like they did that 1 7-inch, whatever.
Yeah, that was great.
Found its, yeah.
I think I said in the chat, it's wild when a band like that does like one thing, and like especially early punk bands, like they did released a killer single or maybe a few singles, and then literally all of them just are like, all right, that was our time in music, we're done.
Yeah.
It had no business sounding that good. It like mix amps, like music sounded great, vocals sound like mix is good. I mean, I guess you probably couldn't record stuff too DIY back then, so they had to at least get into a studio of some sort, but like it was great. That's I killer. Really enjoyed it. Can't agree with knocking the Bee Gees that much.
I Same. Mean,
yeah. But Love I think the they were they were reacting against a much bigger force that was disco.
Yes.
And probably the douchebags at their high school who liked that music. We cannot fault Robin, Barry, and who am I forgetting? Anyway, the brothers Gibb.
Yeah, well, that'll be a conversation for another time because I want to talk about the Monkees.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so this is off the 2016 Monkees record called "Good Times!" Exclamation point! A lot of these songs. I think maybe two of the songs were actually written by people, like actual Monkees. It's Peter Tork, Michael Nesmith, and Mickey Dolenz. Davy Jones posthumously is on a track. And a lot of these songs were not written by them. That particular song was written by Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie. which I've never really listened to, but it is an like interesting thing to when you find out like this, like how he can conjured that like Laurel Canyon Gene Clark sort of essence into that song. And it's like perfect for Michael Nesmith, because the first National Band played their first show with like the Burrito Brothers and all that stuff. It's song is fucking beautiful. It's incredible. I mean,
that man wrote Different Drum.
He could have
called it a day there, and then he decided to go and have a multi-decade career. Yeah, it's an incredible song too.
I was instantly taken by the vocal delivery. Like,
yeah,
wow.
But
then I scrolled down and I saw Ben Gibbard, and I was like, what? I was perplexed. Yeah.
Rivers Cuomo wrote a song for that record.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna erase that from the record. I'm never gonna hear that. It's fine.
And it was also, the whole thing was produced by the former singer of Fountains of Wayne. So,
yeah, Schlesinger, man.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned this in our group chat, but I'm a big fan of that band. And
I got to check him out.
He is the guy who wrote That Thing You Do. He's a fascinating guy. This whole project is very interesting to me. I think... Didn't the Monkees have a little bit of a resurgence because they were on the Lady Bird soundtrack? They had a song from the Head record on there. And then, like, the Monkees started gaining steam as a band that, you know, you could listen to and find something as opposed to just, like, pop fluff or something. And then they had an album come out, and it was good, which was, like, it was a nice double whammy. A good way to, like, celebrate a band that had been kind of ridiculed.
Yeah, because, I mean, Michael Nesmith is a fantastic musician. I mean, and if you listen to Head, I haven't watched the movie yet, but the record Head is fucking sick.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't disparage. I really can't disparage them, because I've really never spent time with the Monkees. And, you know, to be fair, I did like some early Death Cab stuff, so it's just funny to see. It was unexpected. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pose a question. Is Daydream Believer the best pop song of the 60s? Pure pop. Let's not like, because you could say like, I don't know, Sunday Morning by the Velvet Underground is, but like,
I would put Everyday People, Sly and Family Stone.
Okay.
I am not knowledgeable enough on the subject to weigh in.
I love hearing some certain Monkees singles are like you've heard them so many times, and it doesn't really matter all that much. They still have a lot of power. So,
Patrick, you loved early Death Cab. I grew up as a child watching VHS reruns of the Monkees. Now Our Worlds Are Together. Check that record out.
Oh, I will. I definitely will.
Hey, Dylan, have you heard like some of the very last Glenn Campbell music that he put out?
I have not.
It reminds me of that. It's like, there's a little bit of a death rattle in the, when you listen to it, sort of like in the Monkees, where you're like, okay, this is a little like Uncanny Valley Monkees, but also it's pretty. So you're not like, it's cool. Yeah.
I got to check his discography out too. I've heard there's nothing but good shit in there. So
yeah, he's a beast. I'll send you some stuff.
Thank you.
Of course. Yep.
All right. That's all I got. I guess limited time left here, so we'll close it out. Track by this band from DC called Hologram. Just saw them on Sunday. Shout out Stress Positions. Shout out Tom, who's playing drums for Hologram, from Exhalants. Shout out Jensen Ward, who I saw play drums. Mm-hmm. That was tight. This shit is fucking weird, and I think you guys will enjoy it.
We'll see about that.
And see you next time, suckers.
Ow, ow.
Later, taters.
Later.